Jesus' teaching on marriage would have been incredibly shocking for the Jews and the people at that time, because Moses had permitted divorce, and so divorce was rampant and common. The man, he had the right to execute the divorce, and he just had to basically communicate in writing a decree that he was divorcing his wife. And some of the official commentaries, the official Jewish commentaries, which would have been kind of almost legal texts in themselves, it was kind of interesting, some of the reasons that you could give for divorcing your wife. If one of them was the more liberal side, if the wife spoiled a dish, so it didn't take much. And so there was an abuse going on. There was abuse going on. So it would have been incredibly shocking for Jesus to say, Moses allowed this because of your hard hearts. But from the beginning, as we heard in the first reading, it wasn't so, right? That wasn't God's plan for marriage. And so why did the Pharisees and scribes do this? Did they want clarity about teachings on marriage? No, they knew clearly that the law permitted it. They were trying to basically expose Jesus on a controversial teaching to get him bound up, get him in trouble, all right? And so they could move him on the process towards his ultimate end of persecution and death. So they were basically exposing him out on his teaching to get him in trouble. This passage from Mark 10 is really kind of the reason that the church has to deal with annulments, because an annulment is a official declaration issued by an ecclesiastical authority that says that what appeared to be a valid marriage in the eyes or in the church was in fact invalid due to a grave reason, right? I think it might behoove us to spend just a few minutes considering the church's teaching on annulments, especially since the Pope issued some new norms on annulments, which I'm sure you heard about, and there's been a lot of commentary and misinformation given about that. Moreover, that marriage is so essential to our Catholic faith, to our society, that we need to have some understanding of what's going on in the church's teaching so that we can evangelize and communicate clearly and to safeguard the permanence and indissolubility of marriage that Christ teaches and the church teaches. So what's going on with the annulments? What Pope Francis has done is issued new norms for annulments, has basically streamlined the process. Okay, so that's important to kind of keep in mind, that he has streamlined the process. He is not allowing divorce like Moses did. Moses allowed divorce. He didn't streamline the process, right? So what do we mean by streamlining the process? Well, not in our diocese for sure, and often not in the diocese in the United States, but especially around the world. The process can be very convoluted and take years to complete, because the amount of resources that go into having a tribunal and having canon lawyers is costly, and everything that goes into the tribunal process and the adjudication of an annulment takes some establishment. So, for example, on Mondays, I have a canon lawyer hat. I work in the tribunal, and I judge marriage cases. Well, before you're able to judge marriage cases, you have to go 3 years of schooling, all right? You have to have an ecclesiastical degree, and then there has to be an established tribunal in the diocese. So all of this goes into just getting to the point where you can judge annulment cases. And you can see in poorer countries, like Africa, to be able to have a tribunal to, in a timely way, process through annulment cases, it just wouldn't happen. In fact, first of all, a cleric, a priest has to be the one who is the judge of the marriage or a judge of the case. So you have to have priests. Last week I was in Pueblo, Colorado. So this time last week I was still in bed. Well, on a little vacation. And I helped out at the local parish here during the week in Crested Butte. So Crested Butte is in the Pueblo Diocese. You know how many seminarians they have for the entire diocese? One. I'm upset if there's not at least one from Blessed Sacrament, you know? We have 62. Okay, now think about that. If you're trying to man parishes, okay, you have enough priests to man parishes, let alone having enough priests to be on a tribunal and to process annulments, right? So we're very fortunate. So that's what you're looking at, you know, around the world. So the Pope, he's realized the issue here, and people in justice deserve to know what their status is in the church so that they can be in full communion and participate in the sacraments. So the norms are addressing, you know, basically some of these needs. And so what's going to be allowed now, basically, is that there's not a required second instance judgment in an annulment case. What do I mean by that? Well, the way it works, say, on Monday, I would go to the tribunal, and I would receive a case that has testimony from both sides, both parties, a brief from the defender of the bond, the defender of the bond is a priest who argues everything in favor of the marriage itself, okay? So it's like a defense attorney. So I'll have all of that paperwork, the marital history from the parties, and then I'll go through there, and then as judge, I'll give an affirmative or a negative on whether the grounds have been established that this marriage was either valid or invalid. When it comes to judging a marriage, as far as an annulment goes, we know that there are essential requirements to make marriage, right? There are promises that the couple makes at the altar. They're going to be faithful for life, right? So faithfulness, exclusiveness, one person, one man, one woman, permanence until death do us part, right? The mutual sharing of the entirety of life, openness to children. So those are the basic grounds. So if there's going to be an annulment that is granted, it's because something was gravely wrong or disordered concerning one of those particular grounds at the time of marriage, right? And so that's what's examined. It's not I read through this paperwork. You know, that sounds like a good annulment decision for me. Okay, stamp. No, it doesn't work like that. All right, so it is a very thorough process. What the Pope has allowed is now that there is no second instance judgment required. So if I would grant an affirmative decision on an annulment, so the annulment's granted on Monday for Jane and Bob, well, previously it was automatically appealed to a second instance tribunal, and our second instance tribunals in Kansas City. So that would take another 3 to 4 months, okay, to process it at that level. So that is no longer required. The second instance, it's kind of a review of checks and balances. That was the reasoning of it. Now, it can go to a second instance tribunal if one of the parties appeals it themselves. So if Jane says, I don't think this was a valid marriage, and I want to challenge this, that she can appeal it, okay, to Kansas City. But by the law itself, it's not automatically appealed. So if I make the judgment, the decree is sent out to the parties, the marriage is annulled. They're free to marry, okay, or vice versa. Okay, so that's one of the ways that the Pope has streamlined the process. And the second is that there is a new form for declaring an annulment. The first is the formal case, which I just described, that comes before an ecclesiastical judge who has to be a priest. The second is lack of form case. For a Catholic, they have to be married in the church before a properly delegated minister. So if I have children, okay, and Jane leaves the church and decides to get married in another church, all right, her marriage is immediately invalid. Because for a valid marriage as a Catholic, it has to be before a priest or cleric or properly delegated minister and two witnesses. So it's pretty simple. It's kind of just like an administrative process. So you might hear about people who got the annulment so easy. That's probably what happened. Because those all we need is proof or testimonies that in fact it did not happen in the Catholic Church, and then it's declared invalid. Well, the newest process is going to allow for the bishop now, in cases that are manifestly evident, okay, that this marriage is going to be annulled. He, through a simplified process with the judicial vicar, so the head judge in the diocese and some assessors, he can make a judgment within 30 days. Now, what do I mean by manifestly evident? Well, faithfulness is one of the essential elements of marriage, right? I'm committing myself to Jane, right? Well, it happens sometimes that Bob, I don't know who the man I said before, but we're just Bob and Jane right now. Well, Bob is going to get married to Jane, but Bob also has a girlfriend in Alabama. Okay, well, we got a problem, right? So he's saying that he's going to be faithful at the altar, but he's lying. It's called simulation. Well, that would be a manifestly evident case. And in a case like that, the process is expedited, okay, and so the bishop can make a judgment. So that's really the guts of the new norms on annulments for the Catholic Church. It's not the allowing of divorce. It's not the changing of the particular grounds. And in our diocese, where we have, you know, an ample number of canon lawyers and a system that really processes the cases quickly, nothing's really going to change as far as us in our diocese. The important thing, I think, for us to know is that, you know, what Pope Francis is getting at is not, you know, even with everything that's controversial about what he's done, he's really addressing matters as a pastor. He's addressing, you know, people who are wounded and assisting them to trying to get them to move forward. And so he has a pastoral approach to the life of the church, and that's how he's carrying out his Petrine ministry. So as we continue on with these sacred mysteries, we especially remember those who are married, that God would continue to give them strength and protect them. Those who are living in broken marriages and who have divorced, that the Holy Spirit would bring about healing. And we finally pray for our Holy Father that the Holy Spirit would guide him in his Petrine ministry.